Excellent. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the November 8th, 2021 meeting of the Ashland Park and Recreation Commission Ashland Senior Advisory Committee, ASAC. We're meeting here via Zoom. And first on our agenda for today is the approval of minutes from September 13th, 2021. I had read them earlier, and I would accept a motion from anyone to approve those minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, you can just do a raise of hands to approve the minutes. All right, minutes are approved. I don't have any additions or deletions to the agenda for today. Oh, sorry, I'm going to defer to Eileen. Glad.
I should have let you know I had one, Mike. We have been struggling with some of our marketing. There are moments that we would love to have a group photo of the ASAC committee, like for our website, as we're working on an updated and much more attractive website. Needless to say, we haven't had a group photo opportunity in a very long time. So Natalie and I wanted to get your permission to perhaps do a screenshot of some kind. Maybe our folks who are not committee members could temporarily take themselves off camera, and that and Natalie could arrange it a little bit so that we can redact out. Good. I noticed on my screen, everybody who doesn't have a camera on dropped to the bottom. So that was good. Can you just make sure you're centered and smile for the camera? But first, let me just hear, is this okay with people? Do we need a vote, Mike?
We don't need a vote, but I don't think. But
we're missing,
go ahead, Ann.
We're missing Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're missing Mike. Could we wait till the end and just see if he comes on?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, that might work. He has sometimes had to be late due to his other commitments.
And
so
then
why
the
don't,
other question.
Why don't we try that at the end instead? Then that sounds great.
Yeah. And you can actually move your, you can move the boxes around. I don't know if you know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Natalie knows how to do that.
Okay.
So let's try doing that, Mike, maybe right before next meeting or something.
Well, or at the end of this
or
meeting.
Or at the end, wherever you want to put it, Mike.
Yeah, no, I'll put it in right there. Okay, then we will, I didn't have any notifications that there was public input.
No.
There is none. Good? I mean, not good, but thank you. So we're gonna go around the house and do introductions and backgrounds for any of the newer members, and it's just something that we thought we maybe was left out in the previous meeting. So we can start doing that, and I'll actually lead it off if that works for everyone else. And then we can just, I don't know if everybody's screen looks the same, but I'll go ahead and start. So my name is Mike Gardner. I'm currently an Ashland Park and Rec Recreation Commissioner. I've been on the board of commissioners since 2002, with a short hiatus at the beginning of the second decade of the century. But other than that, I've been mostly involved with city work, park and recs mostly, but I did some time on the planning commission and also on the transportation commission. And serving a couple boards right now, retired and happily living in Ashland. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And he plays music.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
A rock star.
I play the keyboards occasionally too. So why don't we do a thing where I'll hand it off to someone else, and then you can do the same, and I'll hand it off to Ann, since you spoke up.
Well, I'm Ann Bellegia. I have been retired in Ashland for some time. I am I was involved in the restructuring of the senior program along with Rob Casserly, who's here, and other senior-oriented organizations I've been involved with are Hospice and Ollie and Rogue Valley Council of Government Senior Advisory Council and COHO, Choosing Options, Honoring Options. And so I say to people that I'm doing penance for my 40 years in the pharmaceutical industry, convincing people that they might live forever. And of course, that's not true. So here I am, and hoping to make this journey better for everyone and that they have a good soft landing. Oh, I'm supposed to hand it off. Okay, I'm going to hand it off to Sandy.
Okay, well, hello. I'm Sandy Tice, and actually I know Deidre from my previous jobs. And Jen, I used to be the dean at your school. So my background is nursing education. I have been retired for some time, but I still maintain an interest in nursing and in education. Actually, I'm attending your Puhati lecture later on today. Thankfully, they're doing it via Zoom. So I am obviously on the Senior Advisory Council. I also was on the Council of Governments. I'm active in OLLI, AAUW. Like to stay active in different kinds of things. COVID has kind of slowed me down a little bit, but I try not to let that happen. So I'm happy to be here. This is a great group. And also, actually, I'm one of the phone buddies that we're going to be talking about later. And I'll pass it off to Deborah.
Hi, yeah, I'm Deborah Johnson, and I'm a new member to this committee. I think maybe it was October. I don't even remember now. But anyway, I'm the newest member outside of you or any new members that are here. Who is a new member here on the meeting today? Corey.
Yes.
Corey, okay. So my background has been a career in geriatrics and geriatric care management, and I worked with hospice and end-of-life care. That's where my heart is. And then I also, when I moved to Ashland, I became involved with the Ashland Newcomers. So I'm on the committee now for the Ashland Newcomers. We've had a hiatus now for almost 2 years, but one of these days we'll get back. And you know, that's it consists of anybody really. You don't have to be a newcomer.
I can't
to
hear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this better? I'm sitting too far away. Can you hear?
I can't hear anything.
Oh, can you all hear?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not Mike, sure, Michael. I don't know why.
Have you turned up the volume on your device?
Michael, can you hear now? No,
I will send him a chat about that.
Okay.
So anyway, Ashland Newcomers is, you know, for anybody really. You don't have to be new to Ashland, but it's a great way to meet people. And a lot of people are in that are also involved in OLLI. A lot of them are older. I'd say the average age is probably 65, maybe. And then outside of that, let's see, I'm involved in this committee. I'm involved in the Red Cross, and I do End of Life Choices Oregon. So those are my, and then I'm also on a plan for care committee. I'll call it a planning for care, where we're helping a small group of people plan for care as we grow old here in Ashland. So.
I think I'm here now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like can you hear us?
Yes, everything's good.
Okay.
I hit too many buttons at once.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so I have to pick someone. So Mike, I'm going to pick you now that you can hear us and we can hear you.
We're introducing
what do you want?
Ourselves. We're introducing ourselves to the rest of the group.
Oh, hi. I'm Mike Hirsch. I've been a member of ASAC since, I guess, the beginning. I volunteer with Meals on Wheels and the Ashland Emergency Food Bank. And I've been around forever.
That's really good. And would you like to, why don't I just select Steph Steffinger to be the next person, since Mike didn't hear our original pass off.
Yeah, hi, I'm Steph Steffinger, and the roles I play currently, I'm on the city council. I was a park commissioner before I was on the city council. I've been interested for a long time in making Ashland an all-age friendly community. I'm working with one group now that is working to develop a more ADA accessible trail. I'm on the board of the Ashland Emergency Food Bank, and I've been on the Forest Lands Commission a long time. I'm also a glass artist and a mushroom collector.
Maybe we can mute until we get called on?
Sure, I can mute myself now, and let's see. Corey, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Corey Frank, and I think I might be one of the newest members. I was on the last meeting, but we had some technical glitches. I'm a retired registered nurse. Sounds like it's a theme here. I currently work with CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team. And I was with Ashland at Home before COVID hit, and it looks like hopefully that's going to be revived. And I work a lot with just reaching out into the community with seniors who have some difficulties and don't seem to be able to hook up with the appropriate resources. So I'm constantly on the lookout for that. And it always amazes me how much falls through the cracks that we kind of think, well, we have these services set up, but it's that bridge to get to those services that sometimes we don't realize isn't as easy as we might think they are. I don't work with, but I do a lot of pickleball, and I do that with a lot of seniors who, we talk, and I was sharing this with our journey trying to get our booster shots and trying to help others get theirs now. And I have been very interested since we moved to Ashland in what resources are available and, again, how easily they are to connect with, because I think sometimes we get into a mindset that we have them, they're there, you know, get them, but the reality is it's not that easy. So that's kind of my focus, is to try to make it easier for seniors where I see problems. And that's why I'm interested in this group so much. And I'm very, very interested in seniors, again, getting through this COVID situation, but hopefully maybe getting to start a few small groups again and so on. I tried Ollie, but I tell you, I don't like the Zoom. I just don't. And it's not, to me, very fruitful. But that's all we got right now.
We plan to meet in person again in the future.
I know. I saw November 1st for starting meals again, but I don't think that started.
So.
I think Kathy's left. Maybe you want to call on her.
I will just start. My name is Kathy McNeil, and I moved to Ashland in 2007. I retired about, just a little short of 5 years ago, and I went into the senior center after I retired to get help with something, and 3 days later, I started volunteering there, and I wore many different hats, and I've helped out as I could since the senior center has closed, and I decided to join this committee to see if I could help out in other ways. And I volunteer at many other different places in the Valley. And I don't know who else I pass this off to, but here's the baton.
Let's go. We should just go to Eileen and Natalie, I think both. But go ahead.
Great. You know, actually, Kathy, I'd love if you would name some of the other organizations you volunteer with. I think we've been building a picture of all of our cross connections in the community, and it'll be helpful for people to know.
Okay, so I work intern, used to work before things changed, in the library, and then I delivered books to that outbound to Maple Ridge, to Skylark, and I had about 6 private residents that I took books to once a month. And I think my total was 28. And then I also volunteer for the Historic Society. And then just random little things that come up, you know, with the city or whatever.
Thank you. And I can tell you, Kathy didn't name all the things that she's done for us, but since COVID, she has single-handedly made hundreds and hundreds of outreach calls to check in and to offer vaccines and to get people scheduled. She was a force of nature for us and made a lot of our COVID response possible because of that very labor-intensive help. So we've been super grateful and super grateful to have her perspective, along with several of you who are representing that more user or volunteer perspective, active at the Senior Center when we're there. My name is Eileen Glatt. I have been the superintendent of the Senior Services Division since 2018, when it was transformed from a senior program to a division of Parks and Rec with its own superintendent, in recognition of the growing population of seniors in our community. I think Jen will have some stats on that later. My background was, I have a master's in public health and I worked in public health education for a long time. And I later went on to work for a Medicaid managed care health plan as a health educator. And from there started to do some lateral shifting. I managed a bereavement program for a hospice. And then I worked for the Alzheimer's Association. My volunteer work in the community is facilitating a support group for caregivers of people with dementia that I was actually doing at the Senior Center years before I started working there. And I continue that as a volunteer in my evening hours, but it's also, we bill it as a service that we provide because it's always been a collaboration between the two organizations. And so that's my particular charity to fundraise for and to support. Used to volunteer with the OSF and several other things, but like many other people, it's in the used to. So I'm going to pass off to Natalie and let her introduce herself, because thanks for the opportunity, Mike. It's important for everybody to know who the staff are and what we're bringing.
Hi, I'm Natalie Mettler. I am the Senior and Adult Services Coordinator with Ashland Parks and Rec. I have been at the Senior Center since 2017 when I started volunteering, about the same time that Kathy started. I have been in my current position since 2018, but it's been about 4 years that I have been associated with Parks and Rec and the Senior Center, and I really love it. I have a background in anthropology and history, but decided that that is not the career I wanted and became very interested in working with older adults. And when this job opened up, it was a perfect opportunity for me to be able to serve older adults, because I also feel drawn to serve people. I really liked what Corey said about the importance of knowing how to connect people to resources. I feel like that's a lot of the meaningful work we do, since we don't provide a lot of direct services, but knowing how to navigate an increasingly complex social service landscape is important work. So thank you all for being here, and thank you all for volunteering. Oh, my volunteer contribution is at the animal shelter. I am part of the dog play groups. I'm currently on hiatus from that because I'm pretty much on hiatus from everything because of the pandemic, but I've been doing that for about 4 years as well. So I look forward to returning to that soon. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Natalie. And thanks to the group for giving us a little background on members and what their interests are and what their level of volunteerism is. So we'll move on to the next item on our agenda. And I'm gonna turn it back over to Eileen to introduce the next item.
Thank you for the opportunity. So one of our several guests that we have on the call today is Jen Bruce. Hi, Jen. And Jen is an OHSU nursing student. And honestly, it was thanks to Sandy who originally connected me with the program. The nursing program there has two different classes where they do practicums that are appropriate for community agencies, not just medical settings. And we were fortunate to have Jen and another student at the time was Tony do a project in the spring. And Jen is going to be sharing the report that they produced at that time. They already shared it with the RVCOG Senior Advisory Council back in the spring, but our meeting timing didn't quite work out for that. And we also have Deidre Goldberg on the call, who is Jen's faculty supervisor, just so a name you might not have recognized. And maybe for Corey, or the sake of some of our newer members, I'll let you know, we also have Rob Casterly, who was one of the founding members of ASAC and continues to join us as much as he can to stay connected, even though he's not a voting member now. And we have Michael Black, who is the director of Ashland Parks and Recreation. And Michael let us know he'll have to leave early, but he wanted to see the presentation. So with that, take it away, Jen.
Okay, so as Eileen said, my name is Jennifer Bruce. I'm an OHSU nursing student, and I'm going to be sharing, it's a project that we started last spring, and it's carried over for me into this fall. So it's like a background into what's happening presently. So let me share this. Let me go up to the beginning. Can everybody see it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we were looking at increasing social connection for older adults in Ashland. Tony and I were, he has since graduated and now that's just left me, but let's continue. So why does this matter? So as you guys mentioned earlier, Ashland has a high percentage of adults over 65. The national average is 16.9, according to the census in 2019. And Ashland's, oh, I have you guys in the way. Hang on. Oh no. Ashland's, I can't read what what it says, is 23.6.
Jen?
Yeah.
If you go up to the people that are showing and at the very top, you might see a way.
Oh, hide. There we go.
Bar.
I got it.
Away. I know it's very hard to see the presentation when they're there.
I found it. Okay, so Ashland has 23.6% of adults over 65, and that is a 6.7% difference from the national average. So that's quite a large amount. Health outcomes of loneliness. So loneliness is more dangerous than obesity and just as damaging as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. 43% of seniors feel lonely on a regular basis, and there's a 45% increase risk of mortality in seniors who report feeling lonely. Our project goals last term were to search research, literature around social isolation in regard to the pandemic, and then to assess the current state of resources and social connection in Ashland for older adults and to evaluate the Ashland Senior Phone Buddy program. We spent a lot of time on the Phone Buddy program and the research literature review. Our assessment methods. We surveyed 60 people at the vaccine clinic at SOU during the Ashland Senior Services Division vaccine program. We passed out surveys at the YMCA to older adult members, and we received 21 back. We called the Phone Buddy program members, and 28 people participated in the survey. And Food and Friends was kind enough to send our surveys out with their meals, and we received 16 back. We also interviewed staff at Ashland Senior Services Division and other older adults in Ashland. So our findings, the strengths we found, this is relating to the Senior Phone Buddy program. So they already had an existing client base. They had support from the Motion Picture and Television Fund and the staff at Ashland Senior Services Division. Some of the challenges were finding ways to make the community aware of the program, a lack of trained volunteers, one-way calls. So when we were conducting the Phone Buddy surveys, some of the participants didn't like that the calls were one-way and just the volunteers were able to make them. But in researching, we found that that was actually a better way of doing that, because it gave boundaries for when phone calls were made. And then limited staff. So the opportunities for the Phone Buddy program were referrals from partner agencies, moving from a peer program to a volunteer-based model, and the ability to track contacts from the call hub. So the call hub shows when the volunteer makes a call to the participant, and it shows how frequently they're happening, so you can make sure that people aren't, you know, not being connected with. And some other challenges were the challenge of recruiting volunteers and participants, and of course, funding and staffing. Demographics and results. So we surveyed a total of 97 people. The youngest was 62 and the oldest was 98, and average age was 78.5. There was 76% female and 24% male. This chart on the side right here, it's hard to see probably, but the red is for people that said they felt isolated since COVID, and the orange is for people that said they felt lonely since COVID. You can see there's an increase in mild, moderate, and severe for feeling isolated since COVID, and not as much for the loneliness. And then percentage of socially affected people that by COVID. So 76% of people said that they were socially affected by COVID, and 24% said no. When we asked this question in the survey, we left it open so they could so people could fill in their own answer as far as what helped with social connection. And the things that people said that helped the most were the phone, neighbors and family, Zoom, and the YMCA, and exercising. The Ashland, so we reached 28 people in the Phone Buddy program, and 16 of them said they were moderately or extremely satisfied with the Phone Buddy program. 12 people were interested in transitioning to the new volunteer model, and 16 people were interested in training to become volunteers. At the end of last term, our recommendations were to implement quarterly check-ins to make sure that the participants are still being connected with in the Phone Buddy program and everything's going okay, and to proceed with a new volunteer Phone Buddy model, and to promote the program in Ashland. And now that's where we are here. So looking forward, I'm currently trying to recruit volunteers. I've been putting flyers around in coffee shops and SOU campus, some retirement communities, and the libraries. Making community connections has been limited because when we were talking, we decided that it may be prudent to find volunteers before finding more participants. So that's still a work in progress, trying to connect with like discharge planners or case managers at the hospital for when people leave, if they have people that could benefit from a phone buddy program. And then I'm also assessing digital access in Ashland to see if there's a need for internet devices or those kind of things, to see what kind of access people currently have, and if there's any older adult communities that don't have access. So here's the acknowledgments for last term and this term. So we have the Ashland Senior Services Division, Food and Friends, Ashland Family YMCA, and the clinical faculty I've worked with at OHSU. And here's the references. And I just have to bring you all back. Is there any questions?
Jen, why don't you unshare your screen or exit your share so you can see everybody?
Okay. Let me, I'm not used to Zoom. I'm more used to WebEx. There we go. Okay, I found it. Learning technology too.
Hey, question.
Excuse me. May I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, the question is, how did you validate that your sample was significant and typical?
How did I validate that it was? Well,
just letting people respond, you get a subset of people who like to respond.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily the picture that you really want. My concern from doing a lot of Meals on Wheels and visiting all these seniors in person is that the ones who need the most help cocoon. You know, you got to knock on the door and force them to come to the door. Those are the people most in need.
Yeah. I think that was true when we tried to reach the people in the Phone Buddy program. Sometimes it was difficult to reach people. We had to try several times to make that connection. It was all on the phone. But yeah.
Maybe I can chime in, Mike, because it was more Jen's guidance from us, the staff, and faculty guidance. What we did was more of a convenience sampling. The students did a great job of making the effort to go beyond just who was there at the vaccine clinic, although that was a decent variety of people. Those of us that were there really saw certainly the income distribution was pretty apparent from seeing people in their clothes and cars. It was quite a range, but we were mostly looking for some guidance for our own program and not forcing this to be a statistically significant sampling methodology that would have been a far more expensive and labor-intensive process. So we very much appreciate at least having that feedback from the Senior Phone Buddy participants that we were able to reach. And some of their sampling across the community from several different settings to at least get some variety in the sample. So including, you know, some people in Food and Friends. So we appreciated it.
I have a question. So Jen, what's your biggest takeaway from this? What's the most important thing you think you found?
The need that there needs to be programs to help people feel connected. And that, you know, these are really unprecedented times. We're kind of all just flying by the seat of our pants as far as how everything's going right now and learning as we go. So it's kind of a learning process. I'm still learning, you know.
Good question. I have a question.
Yes, Deborah.
A question and also a comment. You know, I know that... you probably didn't ask how many of the people you interviewed had pets. Because, you know, pets, really? In my own experience with my clients, pets have addressed that loneliness key to the core, and it just makes a huge difference.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, you know, if maybe, Yeah, and so I don't know the other factors of the loneliness, except that you commented, that exercise and socialization and blah 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 made them feel more connected. But I don't know how many of the people you interviewed also lived alone, or blah blah. There were some other factors in there that I was curious about, in terms of what made them feel either more isolated or more lonely. And then also just the importance of pets. I'm wondering if the senior center has ever had a program of taking pets like people do in the hospitals, the healing pets that go and visit patients, if you could go and visit elders with pets.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Yeah.
No, we didn't ask any questions about pets. I wish we would have. That would have been great to know.
Yeah, I'm curious. So maybe next time.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Ann. Sorry, I've been coughing so much I wanted to be muted. well, and I think the other thing along with pets is, and living alone is just how many significant relationships they have in their life. The thing is that I was impressed with how many people found Zoom to be part of the solution. You might have picked up a bunch of Ollie members because, migrated our whole curriculum to Zoom. But it's like you got to have somebody on the other end of those Zoom connections. So it only works if you have people to Zoom with.
Yes.
And I do think that was one of the reasons that Ollie was helpful, because you have to have a reason to do it. And if you have a class, you will do it. Or if you have family members who are wanting to check in, you will do it. But other than that, but I will volunteer my grandson to anybody who wants to take care of him for a couple hours here and there. He's lovely.
And I have a question too. So not necessarily the biggest takeaway, but so what's the largest need is for more volunteers to be the callers? Is that the need?
Yeah, I mean, right now, yeah. And to answer that other question about my biggest takeaway, the more I think about it, I think over the summer I became a phone buddy and I was a volunteer. And I think the biggest thing that I learned out of this whole project and connecting with anything that's been involved with it was when I was talking to my buddy, and I had no idea how little income seniors get sometimes when they retire. And it was eye-opening for me. And I wasn't aware of that. And I was just like, it was really like kind of heart-wrenching. I was like, oh my God, that's so hard. And that was my biggest takeaway, I think, was just learning that.
So just to follow up then, you mentioned some ways where you were putting out requests for volunteers. Were any of them successful?
I mean, it's only been going on for a few weeks now. Okay. It's really new. So I'm not exactly sure. Not since the last meeting, no.
Right. Ann?
Wondering along those lines, since Sandy and I, actually, and Steph and Deborah and Eileen are involved with Livable Ashland, where we've been interested in programs that foster intergenerational connections. Because, we talk about loneliness in older adults, but it exists in younger people as well. They don't probably feel as comfortable. Well, they probably are not being asked about their loneliness. Or there's an assumption made that they're not lonely. But I do wonder if you said you were posting things at SOU, and I wonder if some specific outreach into the sort of helping programs at SOU, the social, social
sociology, social services,
Health. right. So I just wonder if they would, if nothing else, see the value of that from a resume standpoint,
you know, when I was in college, I did volunteer work with, you know, whatever.
That's a good way to frame it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to think about building resume, right?
Yes.
So that you aren't one of those seniors that's living on $700 a month in Social Security. That is tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
So being a phone buddy myself, and talking about recruiting others, there are a couple of things I'd emphasize about this program when you talk to people. I'm not sure whether you have it. You might have it in a flyer.
It's a flyer.
But the orientation, and also the every other month debriefing. We've had one of those. I have to say the orientation for somebody who comes from a health background was pretty much, I already knew it, but it didn't hurt to reemphasize it. But for people who don't come from the importance of confidentiality and all those kinds of things, it is extremely important. And also with the debriefing, it gives you a sense that you have some support. And if things aren't necessarily going all that well with your interaction, you have some ways to think about that. So those are two things that I think make this program a little different than some other programs. So I would just emphasize that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead, Anne.
A program that's not entirely dissimilar is AgeWise Age Well. Are you familiar with that program? The people are people coming out of the mental health field, but not necessarily. And it's a peer-to-peer kind of thing. I really don't know a whole lot about the program, but if you're interested in it, if you just kind of Google AgeWise Age Well, there is a whole thing about that. And some of those people might not be as they might not be drawn upon as much, because I think a lot of it has been going into people's homes. So they might be interested in having more outlets for their skills. So anyway,
that's good to know.
Other questions of Jen?
I'll just mention kind of in relation to that is that this program is different than AgeWise Age Well, though. It really is a social conversation. And I have to say from my own background and kind of wanting to help people solve problems, not solve them for them, but to kind of talk that through, I've had to really check myself on that. And and that's part of the orientation. So I would just say it's similar. It is not the same.
No. Yeah.
Eileen.
Maybe I can just speak briefly to that. AgeWise Age Well is a wonderful peer counseling program. So the word counseling versus social phone calls. Their program is generally time limited, and they do a much more extensive training with volunteers to be able to provide that peer counseling. Our program is meant to address isolation and loneliness, and it's really about being friendly, and there's a little more room to share mutually, although we certainly talk about boundaries of that in the training. It's not, you know, the volunteers aren't supposed to call up and spend the whole time complaining about their own woes. You know, they're there to listen. but most people do that pretty naturally. And in addition to the volunteer recruitment that Jen is doing, she's trying to flesh out beyond some of the volunteer recruitment we've done in other channels through the APRC volunteer coordinator, who's wonderful, and it's always mentioned in APRC publicity that's printed, and just reaching out to partners. But every organization I know is telling me that they're having trouble getting enough volunteers and trouble hiring enough people. So you can all be our ambassadors to put the word out to other people you know, especially when you're talking to someone who says, gosh, I'm not able to do the volunteer thing I used to do. This is a really COVID-safe opportunity to volunteer over the phone. The people in your life that you know to be a little more outgoing are sometimes a good one for that, although our introverts do really well with it as well, because for one thing, they tend to be really good listeners. So, you know, in your travels with the community members, think about that. It is a one-year commitment. And as Sandy said, there is a training, a one-day training. And then at this point, we're meeting every other month to connect and coach and solve problems together. So just, I think that's a nice benefit of both the training and those meetings, is having a little sense of community as well for the participants. So that the volunteers get to meet some of their social names at home. Oh, and Anne's telling us that Ashland at Home volunteers have been idle. Now that's a really interesting idea, Anne. Maybe we'll see if that organization is active enough to be willing to reach out. Yeah. So anyhow, I don't mean to take over here. I'm going
to so just to be clear, so volunteers would reach out to the senior center to,
yes, please.
To Natalie to mm-hmm. and just once again to be clear too, it's a one phone call a month commitment.
No, we're asking people to make a minimum of 1 to 2 calls a week.
A week, okay.
Yeah.
And you would have just a single buddy. Is that the way it's set up? Or you might have multiple buddies?
We are hoping that some people in the long run will want to do multiple buddies, but right now all of our folks are just getting started with one. With the program in Los Angeles that was provided our model and our toolkit and is our access to the call hub server that I think you've all heard me talk a little bit about this program in the past. But in that program, they absolutely have volunteers that enjoy it so much that they have multiple buddies, you know, 2 or sometimes 3. And the call hub is all very conveniently set up that way. You know, for Joe, press 1. For Trixie, press 2, you know.
Right.
But it is a commitment. Would it be helpful if we sent out the recruitment flyer and the job description?
Yeah.
So we'll do that with, I'll send it in a form that you can just pass the whole email along. I think we've done that because you're on our list when we try to do these promotions. But now that we really have your attention, we'll send it again.
And approximately how many volunteers do we have currently?
I'm going to let Natalie take that one.
Thanks, Mike. We currently have 10 matched pairs. And all of those participants are continuing from the peer-to-peer model we did last year. We have not done a big recruitment for new participants until we have enough trained volunteers so they don't have to wait for a long time for a match. But we do have another training scheduled on December 10th. And we're doing small batches of training for about 6 to 8 people. While we do want to obviously get more volunteers, we're trying to be thoughtful about adding pairs on in a way that we can meaningfully continue to support them. Because beyond the training and the bi-monthly meetings, they are also able to primarily contact me, but also Eileen, if they need any support along the way. So every week I do have several calls with both participants and volunteers just to help problem solve, mostly about missed connections or using the technology. Fortunately, the relationships in our pairs are building very nicely, and we're getting some great feedback that is really meaningful to everyone who's participating.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that update. And so I guess we'll look for a little more email traffic then from you as far as the a little more on the program. And it's kind of one of those things, I mean, you hear it all the time, the phone buddy program, and then you realize you don't really understand what it is. So thanks for the presentation today. I really, really appreciate that. And go ahead, Sandy, did you want to add something?
I just wanted to say thank you also, and thank you to Deidre for being the faculty person for this. And I think it's such a great thing for the students to be able to see what happens in the community in real time. It's real life.
Great. So thanks a lot, Jen. We appreciate the work.
Thank you.
And then thanks to the senior program staff too, senior service.
Yeah, I wanted to say that because it does take time. And I remember when I proposed this idea to Eileen a couple of years ago, that was one of the questions, because it does take time, but I really believe that what is helpful is to have a dedicated faculty with the students. So it seems it's worked.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Okay, we're gonna move on to Livable Ashland update. I'll turn it over to Sandy and Ann for an update. Neither one can go first.
Okay, well, I'm going to go first. And I'm getting my stuff together here. Okay, so thanks for the opportunity to spend a little time. It seems like in our previous meetings, it kind of come way at the end. And other than saying we're still alive, we haven't really been able to really give you an update. So I'm going to start it out and then Ann can add as she wishes. So just to quickly review a little history, because I think you mostly know this, but the initial application for being an WHO AARP age-friendly city was approved by the Ashland City Council and Ashland Parks and Rec Commission. It was accepted by AARP in February of 2020. So we call our group Livable Ashland, an all-age friendly city. And that is by emphasis on all ages, because we really feel that in order to be friendly to older people, we need to be friendly to all ages. And it kind of gets us away from the kind of dichotomy or conflict that sometimes can occur among and between generations. So that and AARP is fine with that. They still mostly emphasize seniors, but in our meetings with them and all of our communication with them, this has been fine. So we aren't doing anything that they don't like. So we have a steering committee, and Ann and I are currently the co-chairs of that. And I want to let you know who is on the steering committee and kind of who they represent, so you can get a sense of the breadth that we have, and also some looking at some gaps that we have. I have to say that even though it looks like we've been commission for some time, we were really slowed down by COVID quite a bit. We didn't meet for a few months, and it's been I would say challenging because because of that, both COVID and then the fires, and to some extent that has limited our participation, I think, from business and from people who work and have jobs. Those of us who are retired, it has not inhibited quite so much. So we have Gary Anderson representing Mountain Meadows, Kristen Anderson for the library and senior services. We are in the market for somebody from the Ashland Chamber. We thought we had somebody, but today I got an email that he's not able to do it. They are really stretched in what they can do. We have Catherine Danner from Ashland at Home, Stephen Hirsch, who is the new, I'm going to say CEO, that's not his title, for the Ashland Community Hospital. Some of you may have remembered that we had Lee Shapley, but he's not there any longer. So we have Stephen Hirsch. Eileen is on it representing senior services. We have Liz James, who is our AARP contact. Deborah Johnson, who senior services, Kathleen Macris, who is Ashland Community Hospital Foundation, We had Dan Crocker, who was head of the Y. You probably know that he isn't with us any longer. He resigned. I don't mean he died. he's resigned. We're in the process of finding somebody, but again, they're very stretched. And so it's been a challenge. We have Gene Stallman, who's representing SOU, Connie Saldana, RV Cog, Steph Sevenger is on it from the city, and myself from Senior Services. So the first thing that we did was to do a needs assessment using the demographics of Ashland, the 2019 National Community Survey, the 2018 Community Health Assessment, and the Community Health Improvement Plan. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, but we could make it available if you wish it. But one of the things that we saw was that there were needs across the lifespan, not just with older people. And that's why we have tried to focus on intergenerational initiatives. Again, like I said at the beginning, if something isn't good for everybody, it isn't good for seniors. And so that's kind of where we have gone. So we've had a lot of discussion about what is our role, because we are not an entity of really any group. We arose out of this group's advocacy work group, and we still kind of are that part of that, but we don't have any money and we don't have any power or authority. So what do we do? So we spend, and personally myself, I spent a lot of time thinking, well, what is it that we can do? So I have to give Dan Crocker credit for coming up with different roles, and I'm going to read them to you. These are roles that we can do without power and without authority. So we can assess and identify livability issues facing the community using the surveys, focus groups, and discussions among stakeholder groups, convene meetings of representatives of stakeholder organizations to review and discuss assessment findings, encourage other organizations to participate in livable Ashland meetings and activities, encourage collaboration among stakeholder organizations by generating ideas in those meetings for activities that could best be undertaken by combinations of stakeholder organizations. And I will say, personally, I think that's the biggest thing that we bring, an actual place for people who represent these groups to talk about what they're doing and to get synergy from other groups. And we have some examples of that that we can talk about if we have time. Another role is to monitor collaborative Ashland, Livable Ashland initiatives by holding periodic meetings among stakeholder organization representatives at which reports could be presented on group activities, and representatives can comment on activities and share ideas. Another is publicize collaborative initiatives that improve livability, Ashland livability, by seeking visibility with the Ashland and Rogue Valley community, and by reporting them through the AARP network of age-friendly states and communities, and advocate for support of livable Ashland initiatives with government and community organizations that can facilitate collaborative initiatives. So where are we now? The steering committee members are in the process of committing to certain initiatives that interest them and may fit with what they are doing already. So going forward, we have identified a few initiatives that have traction for results, and we will continue to do that. We need to do our report for AARP. We will continue to assess needs, because while we did looked at these needs assessments, we really haven't done anything in the way of convening focus groups. Our decision was that really wasn't a great thing to do right now, that this is a very different time and we would get a really skewed view. So we're kind of holding off on that. So our needs assessment is really going to be ongoing. So we continue to recruit for steering committee members, and we need to publicize the group and the results when we have any results. We don't have results yet. So I just wanted to give you a sense of what some of our initiatives might be. And they are arranged according to the domains. There are 8 domains that AARP Livable Cities have, and we have arranged our needs assessment results and also these initiatives according to those domains. So one domain is outdoor spaces and buildings. And one of the things that has been recognized is that there is a limited number of conversational seating arrangements in open spaces throughout the city. So initiative might be to install such seating in multiple park settings. So potential partners with this would be APRC, homeowner and neighborhood groups. Another domain also relating to outdoor spaces, seating for activities for adults adjacent to playground settings, for instance, Lithia Park at the playground there, better seating for people who are kind of watching their grandchildren or their children while they're playing so that they can interact also. Another domain is transportation. So pedestrian safety related to sidewalk maintenance. And for a while, I'm looking at, although she may not know it, Steph was a part of a group that was looking at downtown Ashland and how that might be enhanced. And for instance, sidewalk safety would be part of that. And so we would partner with them when they get back in to doing that, the Chamber of Commerce, and again, homeowner groups. Housing, adults living in large older homes, and a suggested initiative might be to partner with SOU and Ashland Senior Services Division to look at older adults having an SOU student in their home who could help them maybe do some maintenance, that kind of thing on a reciprocal basis. There are quite a few programs like that in the country. Mm-hmm. Civic participation. We felt there's limited awareness of senior and youth volunteer opportunities. So we could partner with Senior Center, Senior Division, Chamber of Commerce, newcomers, as Deborah mentioned. Others related to health. One of the things that Lee Shapley mentioned that we really kind of glommed onto was that the hospital, Ashland Community Hospital, is in the process of putting together an age-friendly hospital with geriatricians and that kind of thing. And we could partner with them to bring in the perspective of older adults in that. So that would be an example of something we might do. So those are some of the examples that we have. We don't have, and as I say, the members of the group are in the process of saying what they would like to work on. So we know all of those won't come to fruition, but maybe there are 2 or 3 or 4 where there are a number of our members who would like to work on them, and we will then move forward with those. So I'm going to stop at that point and see if Anne would like to add anything.
I think one of the things that's inspiring me to see things happen is that, you know, we've seen some conflicts and things like that within the city based on budget concerns and constraints. And so our thinking here is twofold, which is these are organizations that already exist, are already going to be doing things, and it's city budget neutral. And some of the things can also be funded by
by donations and things like that. You know, looking at Mike, I mean, I'd love to see us have some senior playground equipment in the parks, right? Well, you know, maybe if you don't have the budget for it, maybe somebody else, maybe the Y or, you know, whatever could be engaged in making something like that happen. So I see this as providing an opportunity to bridge some of the differences that have emerged and really been kind of exacerbated by COVID. I think people are cranky. So I think inspiring people, seeing visual evidence of progress and human enjoyment and community spirit and things like that, I think are an important facet of this. One of the things that will be very important for our work is continuance of the National Citizen Survey Ashland Livability Report. We used a lot of that information, a lot of that data in our needs assessment. And of course, the parks have been phenomenally well received as in terms of livability. We think that they've played an incredible role during the pandemic. And so, you know, we want to have confirmation that how livability has been impacted by this time that we're in. I think the other thing worth mentioning is that AARP, WHO AARP is interested in seeing this kind of thing expand within our region and within the state of Oregon. And so I think we're also seeing as a city that a lot of the things cross boundaries. We saw that with the fire. So, you know, things like police and fire and all that kind of stuff and water, you're going to see maybe more regional thinking. And that's in line with where AARP is going, and hopefully will help inspire more regional solutions. And then getting back to this intergenerational thing that Sandy mentioned, I think the thing that people don't appreciate is that it's not discrete generations. If seniors are not doing well, their whole family is impacted. They're impacted financially because they're having to kick in for care. And it's, you know, so it's basically, that's one of the reasons the intergenerational part is so important. But we're, you know, we have some really tangible things that we can do. And one of them, for example, utilizing the Ollie resource is education on things. And we are planning a Vital Issues Forum series where the issues of this preparation for the loss of functional independence, which really does affect all members of the family. And so we'll be having that program in winter, and we'll talk more about that later.
So are there questions? I think we're over our 10 minutes. But, Eileen?
I just wanted to add something. Great presentation, thank you. In the sampling Sandy gave of the various initiatives that have been discussed, of course it wasn't comprehensive. And I'm not sure whether people got the impression that there's also quite a few initiatives that are talking about the lower income part of our community. I want to make sure that we're clear that it's addressing all sides and trying to benefit, you know, certainly priorities would be things that benefit a large number of people, but if they're just driven by the partner organizations, it'll be partly driven by what their work plans are. There's been conversation about the widespread affordable and low income housing barriers in our community. Certainly have talked about social isolation for older adults, talked about some of the technology that it takes, you know, for communication and information and civic participation these days, and it is especially lower income adults that have less access to that. So those were some of the things that just come to my mind. I think we've even talked about food equity, for instance. But what you'll probably see emerge out of this is the initiatives where there's an intersection of several organizations. So it might, you know, if there was unlimited funding, we might see a different set of priorities emerge, but we'll probably be driven by where the organizations with their own funding intersect and can work together. And that may not be as perfect a distribution across income levels or ages because of that.
I have a question, Eileen or Natalie. Wasn't the technology classes were canceled recently, right, due to COVID? Have they been rescheduled yet?
Deborah, we are, well, Natalie says yes, we've got one on the schedule for January, but we're right on the cusp of waiting to hear back from the city about ability to begin to open our doors. Someone had mentioned somehow the rumor got out that Food and Friends was going to open November 1st. They had let me know they were ready to come back for congregate dining November 1st, but we were not ready to open our doors. We have a lot of channels to go through because we are still under the emergency operations management of the city of Ashland, and the city has extended their emergency declaration through the end of the year. And there are some serious concerns about safety, especially as seniors continue to be the highest risk, even with vaccination. So, but the good news about that, those advertisements, so thanks for reading those newsletters we send you. we had such a response to that, that almost more, we always had a very active volunteer one-on-one program going, but a lot of people, I think, hadn't thought to ask for one-on-one help, but were really excited about the idea of a class because they don't know what they don't know. They want to come and just get some coaching and see what's available. And so because we shut down right as we were advertising those, we have taken an interest list of phones and emails, and as soon as we know that we're going to have a class, we'll be putting that out to all those people who are waiting for those classes. And we very much hope to get quite a regular schedule going with the library. So for those of you that don't know what Deborah was talking about, this is the Jackson County Library Services has what they call a DART van, which is technology equipped. They actually have their own mobile Wi-Fi, and they have a lot of pads that they bring out, but they were going to bring that into our classroom so it would be more comfortable because we didn't have that much of an outdoor space close enough to the street that wasn't all sloped and such. So, We're excited. We're excited to have that. And I think that will really help with the digital literacy piece. So remember that when we talk about access, there is your internet connection, there's your device, and then there's the how to use your device and how to navigate the internet safely and not become the victim of fraud. So that's part of what Jen is working on with us. She's doing some background research that maybe can help feed into some grant proposals in the future.
But that's a great example of a collaboration that I was talking about, because it's the library services and the senior services division. So
for you.
And so that's, you know, we would take credit for that. I mean, you're doing it, but it can be seen as part of livable Ashland.
Well, and I keep saying that we need to educate people in these stakeholders. They don't have to all be on the steering committee, but stakeholders that, I mean, I see us as, I've said, as having like a Christmas tree with 8 branches on it, and we want to hang the things that we're actually doing that increase livability on those branches, because that's what's going to inspire people to rekindle the sense of we're living in a great place. And I think there's some inspiration that would be very healing. And so hopefully all those people will start decorating our tree, you know, and it would be a good thing.
Happy holidays.
Way
to bring that in. I think we'll need to wrap up the Livable Ashland update. Thanks for your update. Mike, did you have a question or comment?
I just wanted to say I appreciate what's going on. One of my pet peeves, of course, and it's an expensive one to fix, is we don't have enough sidewalks, and the sidewalks we have are in terrible condition. I'm not handicapped. I walk without any help, but those sidewalks, I have to watch where I'm going because they are terribly dangerous. And the city doesn't seem to be able to put together the resources, which would be not inexpensive, and fix that. Meanwhile, I'm going to say goodbye and thank you very much for all the information. Bye-bye.
You have to leave us early today, Mike?
Yes, I'm leaving. Bye-bye.
Wait a minute. How about the pick?
Well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So we've got 15 minutes left. The next item is standing reports. And I'm up first, and I'm going to make it pretty brief. I think since our last meeting, the City Council actually did approve a budget for APRC through the second year of the biennium. So the doors will be open till June 2023, hopefully. And the bigger issue we have is, and this isn't just for seniors, but it's for all of us, but it obviously affects the senior services program, is funding beyond the end of the biennium, which I said ends in June of 2023. So currently, APRC is working on a stable funding recommendation that we hope to be bringing to the City Council in December. We're actually feverishly working on that right now. We have a regular meeting this Wednesday night, the 10th of November, where we'll try to solidify some of those things. We've been meeting with City Finance and hope to be moving that forward. So that's probably all I have as far as an update from APRC. I would turn it over to Steph on anything from City Council, except for Ann, I'll answer a question. Go ahead.
I just wanted to find out if, about advocacy for supporting what the Parks is asking for and what role we might play. And you don't have to answer that now, but it's something on the table, and especially since we have Jen here. And I think one of the advocacy sources that we don't look at is, you know, other age groups and other parts of the city. We know Sandy and I have advocated, I got to say that in support of Parks, having more diversity of voices, saying how the parks affect their livability and their appreciation and lots of other things about Ashland. So I would just say, if you're in the advocacy mode, you know, reach out and we'll talk about that.
And we are, and we will. So thank you. I'll turn it over to Steph.
Thanks. I don't want to sound down on anything here, but I do have a concern that seniors make their needs clear to the City Council. And look at people when the next election comes up that might support some of the things you feel are important. Sometimes I feel like a lone person out there on City Council when it comes to some issues. When you look at what's happening with budget, I feel like I'm worried about the parks in that instance, and that's where our senior services is under at this point. Right now, just general information about the council is that we're recruiting for a new city manager. Currently, we have out of 12 people that applied, we're interviewing 3 candidates.
This week, council will be interviewing via Zoom on Thursday, and I believe next week there's a citizens group that was picked by randomly to give their opinion of the candidates. The things that have been on deck for the council have included the wastewater treatment and whether or not wastewater treatment should be a part of Rogue water treatment or if we should keep our own. It was decided at this last meeting to keep it in the city because of the importance of water and the importance of stream flow in Bear Creek. So that was one thing that was acted upon. I guess I haven't been feeling very positive about council lately, so I probably would say that it's been the hardest time I've ever been on council. And I think it's going to be really important because I'm not going to run again. To look for people that you feel will support the entire community. Any questions?
Any questions for Steph? Okay. Well, you left it hanging out there, so.
I'll just say thank you, Steph, for hanging in there and for your voice that's been there for seniors and continues to be there. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I second that. Okay. I'll move it over to Natalie for any education reports.
Thank you. So right now we're pretty focused on our lineup for the next season of Parks and Rec, upcoming winter spring season, January through April programs. And we are tentatively planning returning more or less to our original lineup with the line dancing and Tai Chi and game groups, but with the understanding that we may have to postpone some things or shift what we can to Zoom. Because of that, our monthly education programs have been floundering a little bit during COVID because it's been very hard to get enough registration to proceed with these presentations. So we're trying to do a little bit of creative thinking around that. But right now we're a little more focused on trying to put some fun social events out for our community. Like we just did a Halloween drive-through. We're working on a Thanksgiving drive-through with the Firefighters Union and a holiday drive-through. And I did want to highlight one thing, one new program idea, which is not really educational, but thanks to Mike, who led that guided tour in Lithia Park that people really enjoyed and went over really well. So we're hoping to get an ongoing walking group going. You know, something that doesn't have to be indoors. And let's see what else they have. We also are continuing to promote relevant community opportunities in our newsletter. And one thing that we will be highlighting is the OLLI Plan for Care series that Anne has informed us about. That's in January. And other opportunities like with Ashland Film Festival. So just feeling that we don't have to necessarily carry everything, but helping to spread awareness about all the opportunities that are in our community for older adults and those that care for them.
Okay.
Yeah. Steph? I just have a kind of an interesting thought. We have a young man that comes over and stays with us for part of the week. And one of the things he's done for me is he's made this, you probably can't see it very well, but it's a controller for the games that you play on the internet, like Minecraft and...
Oh, wow.
And he's teaching me how to do it. It's a wonderful way of connecting with your grandkids or younger kids because they can get excited about teaching you something. Mm-hmm. And it's very good for the adult brain, the older brain, to learn these new neural pathways. So a good idea, I think, if we could do something like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Steph. That's a wonderful idea. And yeah, definitely playing games is something, you know, we usually have ongoing game groups, but for more conventional, traditional games. And I know, Anne, it's been a few years, but you had sent me some information once about games that seniors could play online. So that's a wonderful idea, Steph. Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to Eileen for her update.
I'm aware of the time. I've had the opportunity a couple times to reference things like our reopening and Food and Friends. And you've had my email about vaccine access. Thanks to several of you for replying about where you were or weren't getting vaccines. Just to close that loop, there is no consensus. It seemed that every location was working sometimes for some people, and it's just a bit of a scramble again. I think when the boosters were approved, the number of people who were ready was not the trickle that the sites had been dealing with, and they were just totally unprepared. I have a feeling it'll clean up a little bit as the next few weeks go by. But there are those staffing barriers, and we've heard that about certain locations, that you thought you had an appointment and you show up and there's no staff. So it's still a little crazy. I would love your feedback via email. I mentioned in my report, I believe I mentioned this, you might recall that we had some very extreme heat this summer, and we heard from a couple seniors, and I was very concerned about our most vulnerable seniors that don't have the big houses and the expensive HVAC systems. So the response to extreme heat has been to set up cooling shelters, which even transportation was another thing that we worked a lot on at that time. But I now have been invited. I had reached out a bunch to Linda Reed and the Housing and Human Services committee, the commission that reports to the city council. And they have now been asked to recommend some policies for the city around not just extreme heat shelter, but any extreme weather event. That unfortunately, the way our climate is changing, these extreme incidents that really put people at risk are becoming much more normalized. So I'm going to be participating tomorrow morning, actually. So we don't have time for a whole discussion today, but I will be on that call giving my feedback. They've convened a bunch of community leaders and as sort of their first stage. I'm sure there will be a later stage to give input about their recommendations, but if you have anything in your mind, please, you all have my email. Send me an email with any thoughts that I can bring up tomorrow morning. I would really appreciate that. I'm not going to take time to do it, but I did try some statistics in a different format this time, and I'd love your feedback whether that worked for you. I gave you more of a graph over time that I thought maybe would be easier to make sense of than the tables I've been using for several years. So I'd love to hear any feedback. You can put it in the chat or email me. And I'll stop there in the interest of time.
Okay. Do you want to do the picture first before anyone bails out?
Well, if you do the picture, I can get Mike on the Zoom call and do a little thing of him, and then
you can parse him in. I was wondering if we could do that. Wouldn't be the first time. So, yeah. Natalie, do you want to be in the picture, Natalie? In which case, adjust your screen a little bit so you're a little more centered.
And we can always crop out. I could be a placeholder, like for where Mike's picture could be or something.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay, so.
And I'll take a few. So everyone smile. And if you get Mike's photo, you can just send it to me. I can do the manipulation.
Okay.
All right. So
and people, if you don't talk, you won't have to deal with the little yellow box.
If I could get Corey to look at the screen, please. Sorry. All right, just a couple more. Thank you. Smile big. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie. That will actually look nice just to show some faces for our website. Thanks, Jen. You were right on it.
Well, unless anyone has any pressing items that they want to bring up, I'm just going to skip to the everyone received the meeting schedule for next year, the calendar.
I put it on the screen.
I think we're going to, at least according to this, we're going to continue to meet via Zoom in January, but that could change. And I'm hoping that we, at some time in the not too distant future, can meet in person. I find the meetings to be more fruitful, but to it's great to be around people and talk to them and share your feelings and your ideas. So, anyways, we'll plan on January 10th, same time, 3:30 to 5 via Zoom for our next meeting. And I guess I would ask, if there's anything that anyone wants to bring up, but seeing none, I will adjourn the meeting. It was good seeing everyone. And we look forward to seeing you all in January. Have a great holiday season. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Everyone.